This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit mensteeclinic.com.
It's hour number one of the G-Bag Nation on 105.3 The Fan. Welcome into the show. Hopefully you are having a tremendous day. As wow, what a big announcement. As Mike is going to the KNC Masterpiece starting Monday. And Brian Broaddus is going to be joining us here in the G-Bag Nation. So really unbelievable, you know, when you get to working some with people, you get a routine going. And before you know it, you spend more time with coworkers sometimes than family members.
Yeah. I feel like we did a much better job of our press conference than the press conference I watched at 9 o'clock this morning.
No doubt. And that is the top story in the world of sports. It is first on The Fan. Can we get some audio in here? Jim Crane really made a mess of it. The Astros franchise owner was, you know, trying to kind of spin, and he is absolutely the worst at it, and ended up looking kind of like a liar and a spinmeister and just a complete loser. And here he is, Astros owner Jim Crane.
Mr. Crane, what do you have to say to the Yankees and teams that you beat in 17?
Listen, the Yankees have had a few comments out there. You know, our opinion is, you know, that this didn't impact the game. We had a good team. We won the World Series, and we'll leave it at that.
Didn't impact the game. We'll leave it at that. The crazy thing is, 55 seconds later, a follow-up question came in. They're like, Jim, you just said it didn't impact the game. Why'd your team keep doing it? He's like, I didn't say that.
Yeah, I never said that.
I didn't say it didn't impact the game. I mean, it might have.
Like, I was almost the owner of the Rangers.
The only guy who was half decent at it was Carlos Correa. When Carlos Correa talked to reporters, he had you know, the best sort of you know, falling on the sword type of moment, and is getting credit for having the right kind of apology for something like this.
There's no excuse to that. We're wrong for everything we did in 2017. It's not what we stand for. It's not what we want to portray as an organization, and we're definitely wrong about all that, and we really feel really sorry because we know we affected careers, we affected, you know, the game in some way, and you know, looking back at it, it was just bad. It was just bad. We wish we could have stopped it at the time. We didn't, and for that, you know, we're paying the price now, and we're deeply sorry, man. It's obviously somewhere we want to be coming into the season. We got to take responsibility for our actions.
So yeah, this story definitely not going away at all. Altuve and Bregman kind of apologized as well when they spoke. And
yeah, kind of.
Yeah,
Bregman had a prepared statement that never really took the blame.
They just kind of expressed remorse.
Yeah.
They're kind of like, we're sorry, I guess we have to move on. And the worst part, I think, in this is it's horrible, but the commissioner is not going to punish them enough because the commissioner ultimately works for the teams, and I guess so many other teams cheated that they're not outraged by it. You know, nobody's going to hold the baseball players accountable for this.
Well,
we're all outraged today.
In this situation, the baseball players are really holding the baseball players accountable.
Yeah.
Players are furious. I saw Willie Calhoun tweet out. I saw multiple Yankees who have spoken at training camp in Tampa, at spring training in Tampa, how mad they are and how they don't feel anything with these fake slash apology type of deal. Like, so the players are really mad. And I wish this after I was somewhat, I don't want to say I was defending Altuve throughout the last 2-3 weeks, but I was kind of saying, look, the buzzer thing,
yeah.
Guys, I mean, that's from a girl who was like trying to put this on. And I was like, now?
That's true.
I 100% believe he was wearing a buzzer during parts of the season. And he was wearing a buzzer versus Aroldis Chapman to hit the home run to go to the World Series. He won't deny it.
Yeah, they're so vague.
And so since he won't deny it, he was wearing one because he doesn't want to incriminate himself. I wish they wouldn't have spoke to the players. I wish the commissioner's office said, no, we don't need you guys.
Yeah.
Because we are going to suspend you for 80 games or a whole season. We're going to find it out other ways.
They're not really doing an investigation. The media is finding everything out. Everything that's coming from the commissioner's office is spin and reaction to what the media is finding out and throwing in their face. We are not going to get any help, not from the commissioners, not from the other owners. And you know the fans are pretty powerless in situations like this. But, Mike, you said something that perked my ears up for sure. Do you think we could have a hit-by-pitch situation, or can the players get us at least the pound of flesh? Or, you know, what do you think?
Honestly, I hope so.
Yeah,
I would love to see it. Just, I guess it matters for the pitchers pitching and the team that you're going against, because I'd have to look at the schedule when they play the Yankees. I could see the Yankees going, you know what, so what? We'll lose one game. We're the best team in baseball. Let's see how many times we can hit these guys.
If you're an Astros pitcher, do you retaliate, or do you just say, sorry, guys, you ate, now you can eat these fastballs?
Boy, that's a great question. I would bet that they would retaliate, but there's part of me that'd be like, hey, you guys deserve it. And you guys still won't fall on the sword. You guys still are leaving some of us out to dry, especially the pitchers, because the pitchers, yes, they did get an advantage because they would get runs scored for them. And the pitchers didn't tell. No, none of the pitchers decided to be like, this is BS. Stop it. They all went along because they were getting runs scored to help out their win-loss record. But I could see beanball wars happening. I wonder what the commissioner is going to try to do to stop that from happening. Because it's tough to stop it. If a player wants to hit somebody, they're going to hit somebody. And there's the penalty's not that bad. You can't, in baseball, they can't take money. They can fine you money, but they can't. When you miss a game because you fought or were ejected for hitting a player with the baseball, it's not a loss of paycheck. It's just a fine that they can do. Like, hey, $50,000 fine, 7-game suspension. You still get paid for those 7 games.
Yeah. Well, quite a story indeed. Do you agree that baseball is just trying to make this thing go away?
They're doing a pathetic job if that's their goal. In fact, they still got to announce the Boston Red Sox thing next week. And I bet they're going to downplay that tremendously because of how bad this is going. But Jim Crane and his PR department get an F-. I will add this. I think Mike Bolsinger from McKinney North suing for his last game ever being against the 2017 Astros for $30+ million. I wonder if that wasn't happening if Jim Crane wouldn't sound so stupid at a microphone.
Oh, yeah.
Because I think he's trying to protect the lawsuit. I think that there's a legitimate chance the lawyers for Jim Crane and / the Houston Astros have told him he has a legitimate case. And if you go out there and start saying it affected games and that we won because of these situations or it gave us a great advantage, then that's going to possibly have him win his $30 million lawsuit. And if he wins, then you know what's going to happen next? Other people are going to start suing you. Yankee players are going to say, look, I lost millions of dollars by not winning the World Series.
I would have been a legend in the world's media capital, New York City.
Yeah,
it's really incredible how far this thing could go. I feel like what should happen if you're caught with this is a lot of players could face 1 or 2 year bans. The coach is a lifetime ban. The owner's forced to sell the team. You're demoted to AAA baseball for a year. That's what would happen. That's what should happen in situations like this. I think such a big part of the issue is in Major League Baseball, they structure it so the commissioner is not doing what's fair. He works for the owners, right? Yeah. And I think so many other teams must have cheated. Otherwise, they would be insisting on so much more punishment. Yeah. They stole the World Series.
I'm with you. I mean, I'm with everything you're saying. In fact, I think Rob Manfred over the last year or so has done such a bad job, and maybe you could say the last 2 to 3 years, because there are rumors. The Rangers players felt like the Astros were cheating in 2017, and it wasn't just the Rangers. Teams felt like it, and the commissioner's office decided to do nothing about it until, like you're talking about, Ken Rosenthal with The Athletic broke the story with one other writer. I'm forgetting his name. And that's when they're like, okay, I guess we'll take this seriously. Even though like 15 teams and hundreds of baseball players have said the Astros have been cheating for 2.5 years, we'll look into it now.
Yeah, after pretending like they didn't have any knowledge of it. Yeah. So, I mean, So the deal is, does it hurt baseball, right? I see Dusty Baker saying, can I ask the baseball world to please forgive the team? You know, and I think that will be the most likely result. We might turn our nose up at the history or the remembrance, but You know, in order for baseball to really change the way they're operating here, which is a cover-up, it would take the baseball fans not liking the game, right? Saying, oh, no, this is so distasteful, I'm not going to watch. I don't see that happening. I don't see players refusing to compete against the Astros or anything tangible that would shock them into treating the story differently.
I agree with what you're saying. I just wonder this. When we found out the New England Patriots cheated to beat the St. Louis Rams back in 99, 2000, I can't remember the exact year, right around there, and it was Tom Brady's first ever Super Bowl win, the NFL decided not to have a press conference, didn't allow the New England Patriots to defend themselves in a press conference or say, okay, we did do, like they just kind of said, okay, it happened, and then don't say anything more.
We got to get rid of this.
And I thought that was a bad way to handle it. But after watching what the Major League Baseball and the Houston Astros just did today, maybe the best thing that they could have done was taken a page from the NFL back in 2000 or 2001 and just say, hey, let the Athletic write whatever they want to write and other writers write whatever they want to write. Players act like it didn't happen, even though it factually did. And people just move on and forget how bad that you cheated and you guys are Super Bowl champs and it led to a dynasty, because now the Houston Astros championship will be the most tainted championship in the history of my lifetime in all sports. And maybe the Patriots should be in that category for what they did to cheat to get an advantage. But because that they buried the story and the NFL buried the story, it's funny, I don't look at the Patriots as all their championships are cheating or the one against the Rams is a total farce, but now I look at the Astros as that's a total farce of a championship.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I think the Patriots maybe get benefit of the doubt because post-Spygate, they went on to even bigger domination.
Okay. And maybe if the Astros go on now, from this point on, and win a couple more World Series, maybe we won't look so harshly. At least I won't. But I look at the 17 World Series now as a farce.
I do too, and I don't think that the vast majority of fans will ever really get there, because I don't think most people ever got there with the Patriots. Like, I think most people just view it as, oh, it's just some thing.
Yeah.
Because when Tom Brady and them win a Super Bowl, what happens? It's just GOAT conversations. Like, oh, the GOAT just got even goatier.
Yeah.
It's like, well, wait, they got caught cheating that time, and then again the third time where they just said, no, the coach doesn't know anymore. We did this on our own. It's like, they never stopped.
Yeah.
Never. But we don't think of it that way. We just think, oh, man, what a dynasty. Greatest coach ever. Greatest quarterback ever. With the Astros, I guess it is. It's more direct. Like, there's more, no doubt about it. All of you were cheating during the game.
Yeah.
It was happening.
Yeah.
It was, man, the way they handled it today was hilarious. Like, they don't. Altuve was maybe the worst. Bregman was maybe the worst. No, Crane was the worst. Crane.
Yeah.
Everybody but Carlos Correa. It was a joke.
At one point, Jim Crane's like, who's to know, like, when we cheated or when we didn't? I'm like, the two Nimrod players that you had up there for 45 seconds know exactly when they cheated and when they didn't. Because he's like, well, the commissioner can't pinpoint exactly what pitch or what game. Or I'm like, yeah, because he wasn't in the dugout. But you know who can? All the players in the dugout can tell you exactly when they cheated and when they did it for real, because they couldn't decipher the signs. Because I had a buddy reach out to me today who has people in the Nationals organization, and he said the Nationals worked so hard as they made it to the World Series, knowing that they were going to play the Astros most likely, that some of their people were up at 5 a.m. in the morning working on signs because they knew they had been tipped off by teams. And this is 2019, not 2017. And I know they're denying 2019, but the Nationals were up at 5 a.m. in the morning getting ready for the World Series to prepare for the cheating that they knew the Astros did to make it to the World Series in 2019.
Yeah, there were multiple stories, even back in the American League Championship Series, I believe, or the DS. I forget which team.
No, it was the ALCS, because on the A.J. Hinch interview, they replayed that to A.J. Hinch. Like, A.J., what do you have to say about your interview when you're kind of laughing off that the Astro or that the Yankees are saying you're sign stealing here at home?
And some of the sign stealing, I think, was legit, right? Because they were really good at recognizing body language. I think they got to this cheating form by doing everything humanly possible to try to get tells. And then as they were assembling all their menu of tells, they were like, but there's better ways to communicate these tells once we pick up on them.
Yeah.
So, you know, I during that time, they would openly talk about how proud they were of, oh, no, remember we saw the glove come up a little bit, or it changed a little bit from open to close.
MLB Network, that was Tampa Bay series in Game 5. And it actually, I watched it and I was like, oh, yeah, he actually did do that. So there might be some where they actually didn't have to steal the signs. But that's where I know that Bregman and Altuve don't want to go over every game that they did it. But I think they'd have to be a little bit specific. To me, I would have loved for somebody to ask, and I know that the Astros controlled the press conferences and enough questions because we're looking really stupid here. Finally, somebody woke up and like, we sound really stupid. We need to end this.
Yeah.
Is, hey, did you guys crush Yu Darvish in 2017 with the Rangers and then in the World Series with the Dodgers because you guys knew everything Yu Darvish was throwing? Like, that's just, did you guys, like, why did you guys crush Yu Darvish as much as you crushed him in 2017?
Yeah.
Be honest. Just say, yeah, you know what? We crushed him because we knew what he was throwing.
And then we need a report to come out about what just happened in 2019 with the buzzers, because then it would put the pressure on MLB to punish for a new thing.
Yes.
And maybe then there could be real justice.
I think they need to look into that, because I think Altuve needs to be suspended for a year. And if Bregman wore it too, he needs to be suspended for a year.
Mavericks being totally awesome happened with Luka and Porzingis dominating in the same game. Is that the new normal next on the Fan? Welcome back, Nation. Okay, Mavericks were awesome last night. A lot of questions going in. Coming out of the game, a lot of excitement. Luka and Porzingis combo up to dominate. That's the topic. Do you now expect this? Have they got it sorted? Segments brought to you by Mark Rubin. If credit card companies are blowing up your phone, do what more Fan listeners do. Make the free call to Mark Rubin at 1-800-LAWYERS, Rubin and Associates. He'll stop all the harassing collection calls and stress. Our guy Mark Rubin, 1-800-LAWYERS, official lawyers of the Tolo, Rubin and Associates. Yeah, Rubin's great. If you have credit card problems, just give him a call. Luka had 33, 12, and 8. Porzingis had 27 and 13. He made 11 of his 16 shots, which was incredible. Early in the season, when Luka and Porzingis were playing together, they said, you know, just finish. Don't think about it too much. Because he was either pressing or he was hesitating. And they kind of just got in a comfort zone of letting Luka totally run the show and Porzingis not being too assertive for a long, long time. Well, then Luka got hurt. Porzingis erupted over a 7-game stretch. And last night they showed for at least one game he can erupt with Luka there as well. Was it as simple as Luka just being told, hey, Porzingis is ready to roll now. Even if he's not open, if you're in a tough spot, throw it to him. He can create now. He's ready to rock. And if so, I think it's the case, because they flipped it on just like a switch last night, Mike.
I think this is going to become the newer norm. I can't say 60 and 25 is going to be combined, but I bet 50 and 20 easily. I think 50 and 20 on a consistent basis from these guys, however it gets to that number, it'll get to that number. And I'm so excited to watch it. I know I texted you guys. I was like, it's happening. They're dominating at the same time. And I think for Luka, who is the ball dominant guy on this team, for him to have to sit out the 5 games that Porzingis played in the 7 games total, and to watch Porzingis dominate the game and win. And he saw it earlier in the year when he did it in Milwaukee. And I can't remember all the games that, you know, he was out, but I think Luka sitting there, and the genius that he is at the game of basketball at 20 years old, I think he's like, I can still get my 30, and I now know exactly how I can use Porzingis in this situation.
Yeah, just take a few, you know, less bad shots and throw it to Dorian Finney-Smith a few less times, and there you go, Porzingis.
Can you guys riddle me this? I don't want to doo-doo in your Cheerios at all.
All right.
Is that a saying? How bad are the Kings defensively?
They're not good.
Because that seemed like a lot of easy buckets.
They're not
that
good.
That was a lot of easy buckets.
I was turned it on NBA TV late last night, and they're like, look, with Luka back, when Luka's on the court, this is the best offensive team in the history of the NBA by 6 points. It's not like they're really – it's not like, oh, man, they're close to the Golden State Warriors, I think is the second best offensive efficient team in NBA history. They're 6 points better than any team in the history of the NBA. And now I think they can not take it to 12 points better than the Warriors, but I think now with Porzingis coming on strong and hitting where we saw him before he hurt his knee, I think that they can be one of the greatest offenses that we've ever seen in NBA history.
Luka, 10 of 12 from the stripe.
Yeah.
And he was 1 of 3 to start the game.
Okay, so 8, 9 in a row to finish it?
that's something we have to talk about definitely a little bit later on in the show, as I think that's a big topic and really exciting for Mavs fans going into.
Well, what do you think, Gavin?
All-Star weekend.
We've given our opinion. Do you think that this is going to be the new norm?
Yeah, I think you hit it. 50-20 is what I expect. You know, maybe even a few more points. Maybe, maybe 52, 53 points will be combined. But, yeah, absolutely. I think, you know, Rick's that organized, that sophisticated. Luka's that good of a player. You know, whenever you have a guy that has that sort of an ability to read the field constantly and track so many different players and their movement, you're talking about Magic Johnson and LeBron James. They are able to detect things with their vision and their brains that most people don't even see. So now you just tell Luka, dial it up a little bit more with how you go to Porzingis, and he's going to find him. Yeah. You know, and now that he knows Porzingis isn't going to flub it up, you know,
yeah,
all the rust is off. Now I think Luka's really going to enjoy this. I went ahead and looked up Luka's numbers last year. He was with Real Madrid, and he did lead them in scoring, but there were four other players within 2 points of him. Yeah, you've been making that point recently that I don't know if he needs to score or wants to score. And I would say throughout his developmental years, he never scored more than 14 points per game. So there's no reason to believe that's not the case.
I wonder if this is going to happen too. When they were putting the 6'2" guy on Luka early in the game, they're like, go post up. Go ahead, put a 6'2" guy on Luka because he's our main ball handler. Go post up and just go lay the ball in. You know, and then when Porzingis would get a 6'4" guy on him, they're like, hey. Because, you know, we talked that post-up game, what, 6 weeks ago, 8 weeks ago, when Tim McMahon wrote about that on ESPN.com, yeah. It's like, look, it's not an efficient deal, but I think the Mavericks are going, okay, in certain situations, if you're going to put a 6'4" guy on Porzingis or a 6'2" guy on Luka, we're just going to go say, go post up and make an easy 2 points.
Okay, the Mavs will be back in action February 21st in Orlando against the Magic. It'll be the first of a back-to-back coming out of the All-Star break next week.
That's the sad part, is we got to see greatness from both of them together for the first time ever, and then we have to take an all-star break.
Yes, it'll be an all-star break of anticipation. Salute to Seth Curry. He had another good game. Tim Hardaway Jr. had 19 points. So a lot of guys feeling good about themselves going in. Great exchange between Luke Walton and Luka Doncic in the game. Late third quarter, Mavs up 18. Luka drew another foul. And Walton telling Luka, hey, do me a favor. Give him your autograph after the game, pointed at the ref. He's a fan. He's a fan of yours, said Luke to Luke Walton.
Trash talk.
Yeah.
Well, I could see both sides of that coin.
Oh, absolutely. I'd be saying that if I was the opposing coach.
Yeah, because Carlisle's always fighting for like, hey, our guy gets hit a lot and doesn't get calls, yet your guy is also a flopper. And so the other team is always going to think he's getting calls. And so it's one of the weird things about basketball that I remember really noticing as like a 12-year-old. As well, there's playoff series going on. You listen to a coach afterwards, and like he's out there willing to get fined. Like, well, you know, the refs don't want us to win. They're screwing us over, and it's terrible. They're not good at their jobs, and I hate it. But, you know, it makes the game unfair that they're not giving us a chance because they're cheating for the other team. And then the refs are like, I can't believe he said that. And then they go out the next night like, I don't want him to say that about me again. Make sure I don't screw him here.
Yeah.
Except Cuban.
Or, if you know, sometimes it's a different officiating crew and you're like, the guy's like, yeah, you're right. You know, that guy doesn't know what the hell he's doing.
They were getting you.
Yeah. I loved Luka's response. Did you see Luka's response last night when Luke Walton was talking to the refs about him? He looked at Luke and said, don't do that.
That's it.
He has the most interesting responses. It's almost like a dad who's disappointed in their child, who's lost their temper or is doing something unwise. It's like when I forget who called him a P word a while back. He's like,
yeah,
you called me a P word. Don't do that. What are you doing? You know, it's not good for you. You know, it's not. I'm not a P word. And, you know, so why would you even do that? It's unbecoming of
I had a buddy.
I like this. Is this how Luka talks?
That's
how I imagined him on the court.
Okay. Like, yeah. I had a buddy that was like that.
Why would you want to do violence? You're my brother.
A guy played.
Come to my house. My mom will make you a nice meal.
Stop it. No,
sorry,
keep going.
Sorry, go ahead. No,
I had a buddy that I played football with. He played corner, and he was incredible. You just every time he threw at him, just bat down. And once he looked at a quarterback, and like not like he was very calm at all times, confident but very calm. He just looked at him. He's like, you're really hurting your team. Stop throwing here. Like, throw it someone else. And he wasn't saying it like, I dare you. He was just like, dude, this doesn't work. He's not open.
That's
stop.
Hilarious. It's great trash talk. If you can bring it that calm.
Just stop.
Gathered. Yeah, I'm just giving you good advice, man.
I think we have a Tolo, by the way, who you ordered pizza from.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, they're like, Vic in Dallas is like, just text in. He's like, did you guys order pizza?
Yeah, nice. Make it quick.
Absolutely, Vic. Yeah. I do that often. He must be new up there.
Yeah.
Just up 75. It's a great spot y'all got, Vic. Salute to you guys. It's amazing pizza. Okay, here we go. It's time now for the G-Bag of the Day, the best audio from the world of sports, pop culture, talk radio, and or the internet. We play them all. Vote on which one we like the best. And that, my friends, is the G-Bag of the Day. How we doing over there, Lucius?
Doing great, man. Let's see. Jeffrey is the winner. He barked on a caller.
Okay.
Check this out.
Howard, my man.
Do you think Tom is better than Dak right now?
Oh, yeah, by far.
Oh, my God.
If Tom had the weapons that Dak has, they would have won the Super Bowl.
Oh, my God. Saving $10 million.
He's never had a legitimate number one wide receiver other than Randy Moss.
That dude couldn't win a football game against the Miami Dolphins at home to get a bye.
Yeah.
Tom Brady choked away a game to a bum team at home with the best defense in the league. Yeah. Tom Brady is washed. He has nothing. What? Nothing. He's
that
done.
Is Blake Bortles. That's who he is.
Except for bad all comeback. The stats. Yes. If Dak wasn't good, he would be bad. Yes. If we could remove the fact that Dak is really good and make him bad, he would be bad.
If the Cowboys are down 5 touchdowns, of course the other team's going to let him score 2 touchdowns that mean nothing.
Yeah, and that's why he has a winning record. He goes to the postseason more than he misses, and he's one of the top 5 QBRs in the league 2 out of the last 3 years. You guys have to stop! Stop like with your non-logical garbage!
I like you, Howard. Good job.
Mike, stop, dog.
And then you'll go 2-14, and you accidentally won't be bad enough to get Trevor Lawrence, and your team will be terrible forever, but you'll be really happy because you ran a really good quarterback out of town because you don't know sports!
Yeah, Detroit Lions are thinking about their fans are trying to run a quarterback out of town. They had to address rumors today. Bob Quinn, the GM, said, we're not trading Matthew Stafford.
Oh, so let me see the x-rays, and then we can talk.
Is Stafford hurt?
He hurt his back, right?
Yeah.
Just let me take a peek.
He only played, what, 8 games
or
so?
I think he can play.
Yeah.
You guys want to trade for Stafford?
I think that if you –
I think a team would.
I think that if New England believes – that, and I'm stealing this from Marcus Spears because I remember him saying this months ago, that if Tom Brady is done, if Belichick's like, look, I think Tom Brady is done, we need to move on, and they don't have a guy to move forward with in their organization, he thought Matthew Stafford would be great to bring to the Patriots organization to kind of have like a 3-year window to win.
Yeah, I think that would be the kind of team that would love to have Matthew Stafford. You know, maybe the Chargers, the Bears. I think there's the kind of teams that if they do want to trade him. Bob Quinn said they're not. I don't know.
The Detroit Lions aren't contenders.
You got the third pick.
I know, but
if it's not a quarterback, if you're not getting better at quarterback, you're doomed forever. Got to get the quarterback.
So if you're gonna take a different quarterback, it's Tua, right? And you're gonna go with an injured guy who might be better than Stafford.
I guess. My thought is, if I'm running the Lions, we're not winning anything anytime soon.
Yeah.
So what if I trade Matthew Stafford and we get worse for the next couple of years? We've been bad for 50 years.
You might not even take a quarterback this year.
Like, well, I mean, maybe I would. At 3, if my scouts tell me Tua T's the next great thing, I'll be like, all right, let's take him. We'll go get Marcus Mariota on a 2-year contract, and we'll figure things out. But I think – to Gavin, you always make this point. We're either going for it or we're not going for it. Let's not be in between.
Yeah, I think. Yeah, and you know what? You're only in the top 5 so often. Sometimes you have to take your quarterback when you're in there because you don't get many shots at that. So I could buy into that. Okay, there he is, our 2-time G-Bag of the champion, Jeff with Howard. Who's challenging, Lucius?
We got Jim Crane. He contradicted himself. Take it away, Troy.
After Alex Bregman, Jose Altuve spoke for like literally a minute and 12 seconds. But he was asked about the Astros. Jim Crane was. Well, he gave an answer, and then ESPN's Jeff Passan had a follow-up. Oh, Jim Crane got caught.
Mr. Crane, what do you have to say to the Yankees and teams that you beat in 17?
Listen, the Yankees have had a few comments out there. You know, our opinion is, that this didn't impact the game. We had a good team. We won the World Series, and we'll leave it at that.
Jim, when talking about the Yankees there, did you say you feel like this didn't impact the game? And what do you mean by that?
I didn't say it didn't impact the game. Basically, you know, as the commissioner said in his report, he's not going to go backwards. This didn't impact the game. I didn't say it didn't impact the game. This didn't impact the game. I didn't say it didn't impact the game.
Oh, this is amazing. This is such great stuff.
You know, maybe this is why they didn't really want to talk.
Right.
Troy Hughes, didn't impact the game. G-bag of the day nominee. That's good stuff right there. What an idiot Jim Crane is. How's this guy still owning a team? How are we not storming his stadium or whatever and insisting that that dumbass has to sell his team? He just stole a World Series, one of the most important things in the history of American sports. And they're like, we're not going to look back.
If you could have the Rangers, if you could have Jim Crane win the bidding war and everything went exactly as it's gone.
Hell no.
You wouldn't take that?
I don't want that World Series.
I think I do.
At this point, I've agreed with Jeff the whole time about, like, yeah, I'll take the World Series.
I want my World Series.
I don't think I want this one.
Yeah.
This one is going to be so tainted that only the fans of the Astros, and there's going to be some of the Astro fans that are like, this stinks. This is not fun because we can't even celebrate this at all.
Yeah, you can't celebrate anymore. I guess you always have those memories. And for some fans, you know, we do go into some pretty delusional territory to stand by our guys and to believe in our team. So I don't know what it's like to be an Astros fan today. Can we hear from you guys about your pathetic loser franchise at 877-881-1053? If you want to text into the show, how you feeling about this World Series right now? Do you want it or are you ready to say goodbye to it? Let's get one more challenger in here, Lucius. What do you say?
Yeah, we got a building security versus a crackhead. Building security versus the crackhead.
I remember you. You're the security guard of the building, aren't you?
Mm-hmm.
I've been having problems with you, man.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what, man? I want to apologize to you, man.
Okay.
I hadn't had my medicine, man. I'm on psychotropic medicines, man. You know I'm a schizophrenia, you know?
Right.
I hear voices. I see things. They say this is not really there. And I just want to apologize to you because I was wrong. Can you just shake my hand?
Of course. That's all I've been wanting was an apology from you. That's all. I'm just trying to do my job, sir.
But you know what, sir? I was thinking about something.
Ow! Oh, no.
Craig, do it. Come on. Hey, you going to jail, man. You know what? Hey, get the off my property.
I hate your ass. You driving to my and take that money now. You know what? You thought I was going to forgive you? I'm going to get some friend of
you. Hey, you better not bring that knife over here. Your ass going to die tonight. Come on.
You got a gun?
Come find out.
I don't think you got a gun. You ain't even got a badge. Hey, you know what? Big bro, I told you I'd take medication.
Oh. Calm down, man.
I don't know what be wrong with me. I just lost everything. Oh!
Oh, man, did he stab him?
Try to swing on him one more time.
Unbelievable. That is pretty good crackhead when it comes to deception, though.
If we could eliminate the schizophrenia and the fact that he's clearly a homeless person that's very troubled, it would be really funny.
Building security versus crackhead. Is it Troy Hughes, Jim Crane contradicting himself for our two-time champion? I'll vote Hughes this afternoon, Mikey B. How about you?
Yeah, I'm going to vote for that moron, Jim Crane.
All righty. Lucius.
Jeff barking on the caller.
It's 2-1, Jeff. Decided for us.
Yeah, Jim Crane.
By a score of 2-2, we're tied in the G-Bag today. And as always, we need you to jump onto @GBagNation's Twitter account and vote for yourself to decide this G-Bag of the Day championship @GBagNation on Twitter. I'm going to create an Insta poll there for you, and you'll be able to vote in just a couple of seconds. And we're back with a segment from Mike. What do you want to talk about, Mikey B?
I'll tell you what. Chris Woodward spoke at spring training. Do you believe that this staff could be the best?
We have a very close runoff vote here with Jeff and Caller winning with 56% of the vote.
Duh.
Crane contradiction audio at 44%. Let's keep this voting open for another 8 minutes. Okay. It's @GBagNation on Twitter, 156 votes in. Who is our G-Bag of the Day? Let's listen to Mike in the meantime.
All right, so I have some Texas Ranger news right now. And the big news is, Jeff, you talked about this earlier in the week. You did the three items that we could vote on as Texas Ranger fans.
Oh, yeah.
The Rangers bomb, which I really liked.
Yep.
One that none of us liked. And then Gavin and Jeff, you guys really like the brisket egg roll situation where it's just brisket
can't wait.
And it's fried with an egg roll. That one won. So yeah. There will be, yeah. I believe I saw the press release, there'll be four locations next year at the new ballpark where you can get the brisket egg rolls.
Did it announce anything about where I could get a dilly dog?
It didn't say anything about a dilly dog. It just said those were the three candidates, and the brisket egg roll won. Yeah. So that will be one of the new products at Globe Life Field Park.
Anybody out there that works at Globe Life Field Park, and it's Field Park is where the Renegades play.
Right.
Anybody that works at Globe Life Field, let me know if the dilly dog will still be there and where to go.
Yeah, what's the dilly, you know?
Now that we've got a new item that'll be hot, there'll be nobody wanting the dilly dog, and I'll get it.
Okay.
It'll be great.
Moving on from food news with the Rangers, Chris Woodward spoke at spring training, and he said that he told his staff, his starting rotation, my challenge to them is let's be the best in baseball.
Except when we play Houston, they're probably cheating.
Yeah, that's going to be really
– sorry.
Houston's not going to have a good year. It's going to mess them up.
If they cheat next year, my gosh.
Only Belichick could pull that off.
We didn't know. It was just our camera guy went rogue. It was nuts.
And I mean, really, this is
stadium with the press.
We feel like this could end, but MLB has to put out a report next week on the Boston Red Sox cheating and winning a championship the next year.
They do.
With the Houston Astro employee leading them to their championship.
Yeah, I thought it was player led, but there's Alex Cora.
Scale of 1 to 10, Mike. How ecstatic would you be if all five Ranger starters were just under a 4.5 ERA?
You mean as a combined total?
No, if all five starters could do that.
And nobody's they were over all four. Somewhere between like a 4.2 and a 4.4?
No, you can have guys that do much better, okay, but nobody, so combined, nobody all five below. Guys. Yeah, nobody below 4.5. Is that a win? Or do you aim higher?
Yeah, but I would like for either Kluber or Minor. I'm going to put those as the two top guys. I know Lance Lynn had a great year last year too. For one of those guys to put up an ERA under 3.
Whew, okay. If you could combine those two things, they could win 85. Okay. I need a lineup. I need a better lineup still.
If you're off the top of my head, here's what I'd love to see. And I'll put Kluber at number one. If Kluber can have an ERA of 2.9, Minor 3.3, Lance Lynn 3.75, Gibson, let's go with a 4.3. And why am I forgetting the last
guy? Lyles, Jordan Lyles.
Lyles with a 4.49, just to put him under 4.5 for you. That would be tremendously amazing to me and would maybe put them in the conversation for best rotation in baseball. Woodward said there's a lot that goes into it, but if you set the ceiling high, the bar high, I want our guys to take ownership of that. I actually found another article, and it talked about these are the best rotations for each division. And this was posted on MLB.com on February 5th. And they actually listed the Astros as the best overall division, best overall rotation when it came to the five teams in this division. And really, that's what I want the Rangers to shoot for. I'm going to say this. I think the Astros, with all this going down, with how bad it went today.
Blood in the water.
They're not going to be good. I'm not saying they're going to lose 90 games.
Yeah.
I don't think they're going to make the playoffs. I think this is going to be too much to handle. This isn't going away because they're fake apologies. There's no real transparency in the whole deal. When they start asking things, there's zero transparency. Well, we won't get into every game. We're not asking you about every game. Can you just give us some specifics at all? No, we won't give any specifics at all. That means it's not going to go away, which means they're going to have a bad season, which means I don't think the Astros are going to be competitive when it comes to playoffs.
They'll try to go me against the world, but it's really hard to play that even internally when you're looking across the room at other cheaters. Yeah. It's like, we're kind of me against the world because we really messed up ethically.
I know I said I wouldn't get into it till maybe baseball nuggets, but I'm going to get into it here. Alex Bregman's never played a Major League Baseball game without cheating. Alex Bregman is one of the best players. I saw
you had him as MVP.
He finished second in MVP voting last year. When it goes to like fantasy baseball, and I know that's not end all be all, but it goes to who are the best offensive players and then play a premium position. Alex Bregman is ranked in the top 10 in all of those fantasy sports of like, you need to get Alex Bregman. He's one of the 10 best offensive players in the game of baseball, and third base is kind of one of those premium positions to get a offensive player. But Alex Bregman didn't play in the major leagues before they started stealing signs in this technology era. And I believe he probably wore a buzzer too with his fake apology, because he knows that he can't really apologize, because if he really wanted to apologize, he'd have to bring up, and guess what? I cheated a lot in 2019 too. But since the commissioner didn't find that in his report, all they can say is, no, I didn't cheat in 2019. All they can say is Altuve and Bregman, well, it's not in the commissioner's report, because they know they can't say I didn't do it, because that would be a lie.
I hope the commissioner's really investigating that thing, but I think they're probably just going to try to move on, too.
I think so, too. And I know I'm getting away from the rotation thing. It does say the Astros will be the best rotation in the AL West.
Okay.
I can see that, because, look, they have the reigning Cy Young
Rangers
winner.
Rangers got a shot, though.
I think they do. I also think the Athletics have a really good rotation. I think that they're going to be – now, for the Athletics, here's what the Rangers have. They have veteran guys who have done it before, and we're relying on guys that are veterans at the end of their prime of their career, pretty much. The Athletics are going to do it with two guys like that are in their prime, kind of like the Rangers guys, and then some young guys that are just super talented with arms. So maybe I'm overrating the Athletics because – they have such premium young arms that are going to try to do it. So I'm hoping the Rangers can become the best rotation in the division, because there are two really good rotations in the division.
And if they do that, maybe the ownership is convinced to spend a bunch of money at the trade deadline if the rotation's nice. That's what I have my fingers crossed for, Mike, if I'm being optimistic.
Well, okay, so in the article, I might have to get to some of these later, John Daniels did say... this is from T.R. Sullivan on TexasRangers.com. The Rangers are seeking more offensive help, and John Daniels said, he said, yes, I don't know if it's right or left when it comes to batters, which way they hit, but I would agree with T.R. Sullivan. He said, I'd love to add another of the middle of the order offensive player. He just said, right now, nothing's active, nothing's going on talk, something could happen during spring training. But at least I will say this for John Daniels. At least he's saying what we all know. This team is lacking a number 2, 3, or 4 hole hitter. Wherever you want to put that guy, they're lacking that guy tremendously. And so to Gavin's point, Gavin, what you're hoping is they prove by June they're a contender. And now let's go get not just a bat. You got to get an all-star premium bat for the middle of the lineup to take this thing maybe to contender status.
All right, there it is, Mike Bastic. A lot of baseball in this version of his unnamed segment, but his baseball nuggets are coming up as well at 3:40. All right, let me see this bad boy over here. What are we doing with the G bag of the day? Who won it? Did Jeff finish the fight? Come it was on, a Jeff. Vote off.
By the way, texters think that it was 3-1 Jim Crane, and there shouldn't have been a vote off.
Really?
Yeah, a couple of texters said that.
I thought it went 2-2.
I don't remember.
Did I screw up?
I voted for Crane.
No, it's okay. I voted for Crane, too.
Jeff and the caller win at 59%. Well, we might have to check the tape.
Sorry.
Our votes don't matter. If the
I don't want to commit fraud.
No, I think... Oh.
I don't want to...
It's kind of the norm when we vote.
The commissioner did a thorough report, and that's all we can go by.
Good point, Mike.
I don't know if I cheated or not in 2019. The commissioner said I didn't, so I must have not have.
What a great way to say it, Altuve. I feel vaguely responsible for what's transpired here over the last 20 minutes, but I would just ask you to please not focus on that, okay?
Worry about the future.
We have 4 more hours of broadcasting.
We're all human.
Yep.
Well, did you cheat in 2019? The commissioner said I didn't, so guess I didn't.
Thanks to Vic, who did a heck of a job delivering the pizza, sir. We salute you. Okay, I tell you what, we have Valentine's Day coming up, guys. Coming up next, we'll talk some Cowboys with you. Your top 5 non-DAC offseason priorities. We're washing away the DAC. We'll talk non-DAC Cowboys coming up next.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.